And this morning, because it's Father's Day, we're going to be talking about 17 things that fathers need to do to be accepted. Amen. Well, I'm only kidding. Praise God. Somebody say, why 17? Because this is 2017. By the time you come next year, it's going to be 18 things to do. Now, but that's just on a light note. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter number 3. Interestingly, the word that the Lord has given to me today is for everyone. And while I was reflecting on what we're going to be teaching on and sharing as a church, the Lord inspired my heart to continue with the series that we've started a couple of weeks ago, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Rather than being dragged into, you know, the stereotype preaching that it has to be something about fathers, we're just going to teach on God's word this morning and just continue with our series. We recognize the fathers in the house. I believe that fathers are actually peculiar instruments in God's hands, positioned in the house of God, positioned in family, positioned in the society to move the society forward. We used about 20, 25 minutes this morning just praying for the fathers in our lives, praying for, you know, for the men. We went ahead, to the extent of praying for the male children in our church and in our church family and in our lives. Because men are so very much important into the end time program, in the end time program of God, and they have always been over the generations past. This beautiful morning, I'm going to be teaching from Acts chapter number 3. I will just read from verse number 6 to verse 16, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Acts chapter number 3, I'll read from verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11. Now as the lame man who was healed held unto Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I read verse 16 again for the purpose of emphasis. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through your word this morning, we humble ourselves in your presence, recognizing that the word here is not ours, but yours. Lord, on this special occasion, when we're celebrating the fathers in our lives, we ask you as our good Heavenly Father to breathe upon your word. Let it come alive unto us. Let it shape us. Let it mold us. Let it transform us. Let there be an impartation of life and of the Spirit as we behold your word this morning. Let it equip us. Let it direct us. Let it bring instruction and correction in righteousness. Lord, I ask for a fresh grace and an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people this morning to receive the word. I ask also that you anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word this morning flow out of me like streams of living water. Let it be in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. So that at the end of this morning's service, all of us will have been transformed by the reason of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, and the people of God say big,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. I'm going to be teaching by the grace of God this morning on what I've titled, What's the Big Deal About This Name? What's the big deal about this name? One of the reasons why our fathers and men often run away from church on Father's Day, unfortunately, is because they've been sick and tired of being told about the things that they need to do right that they've been doing wrong over time. Not that it's wrong to correct and give instruction, but I think that on a day like this, I believe the Spirit of the Lord will want us to have a shift of focus and just discuss about the power that is in the name of Jesus. About the power that is in the name of Jesus. And it's so important because this is a great, if you like to call it, an instrument that the Lord has given to us. Ask our Father. What's the big deal about this name? And that's a continuation of the series we started a couple of weeks ago. We started a few weeks ago, Action Packed. And that's the series of going through the book of Acts. Apparently, we did not intend to go through the entire book of Acts. We're going to go through a couple of chapters. But like I said, right from the very outset, the Acts of the Apostles was written because the apostles acted, not because they taught, because they contemplated, but they acted. And this brings us to the platform of action as believers living in the 21st century. So we've come to this point, which is a continuation of where we started, this beautiful story that we started last week. About a man at the gate called Beautiful. Now, the question I want to ask you this morning is, what's in a name? What's in a name? Now, that which is called a rose by any other word will smell as sweet. That which we call a rose, if called any other thing, will smell as sweet. That's taken from William Shakespeare's book, Romeo and Juliet, Acts 2, Scene 2. And Julius made that statement, trying to convince Romeo that there is no big deal in the name. If rose was called something else, it would still smell sweet. The fact that we are from two different families that have some conflict between them shouldn't separate us from loving each other. What's in the name? That which is called a rose, called by any other name, will still smell as sweet. Perhaps that's your position this morning about names generally. I'm called Joseph. I could well have been called John, and that wouldn't have made any difference. If you call a rose a bubble gum or or any other thing, it will still have smelled as sweet. Now, if that's your position this morning, I want you to think again, because there is a big deal about names. Some cultures in the world actually have meanings attached to names. So names are just not given to people. There are reasons behind it. And names do have meanings. Certainly, that was the case in Bible times. The Bible times, people are not just given names. There are always meanings to the names. There are always reasons behind those names. Abraham means exalted father. Isaac means laughter. And such names are given to people with meanings. In fact, there are instances when God will change people's names, conveying a new set of meanings. Abraham, for instance, was changed to Abraham, which means father of many nations, to key him to the promise that he was going to be the father of many nations, uncountable. A woman by the name Rachel was going to give birth to a boy, and because of her experience when she was given birth, she decided to name the boy Benoni. Some people call it Benoni. It means the sons of my sorrow, something like that, you know. And the father said, no, that boy is not going to be Benoni because he's going to live in sorrow all the days of his life. I'm changing his name to Benjamin. His name shall be the Benjamin, sons of my right hand. Because names do convey meaning in Bible times. Now, the name Jesus was not just given frivolously. It was a name that conveyed the meaning. Now, that name is quite very unique. It's a name completely out of this world. Now, but the issue this morning is not so much about the meaning of the name as an identity, because that's what names are usually used for, especially in our society. Can you identify yourself? You start with your name, because that's your identity. Now, what makes the name of Jesus unique is not because of its meaning, even though the meaning is something that conveys some information to us. It means Jehovah saves, Yehoshua saves. It's the Greek form of the Hebrew of Joshua, Jehovah saves. Now, but that's not the issue. What makes that name unique is not the meaning, it's the influence. The influence. And by influence, I mean that in that name is what is referred to as authority and power, like no other name on earth. Packaged in that name is the entire godhood of God. Packaged in that name is the entire power that upholds the universe. Packaged in that name is the authority that did not just make the world, but upholds the world and uphold all the destinies of the people in the world combined together in that simple name. So it is not just a name having meaning, it is a name having significance in terms of influence because of the package, what is packaged in it, namely authority and power. Now go back to the story we started with, Acts chapter number 3. They came to this place. They were going into the temple. The Bible refers to it at the night hour. Like I said last week, that was about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, according to the Jewish, you know, clock. And they were going into the temple, and they came across this man who was lame. The Bible says he was actually born that way. This man, at this time, was about 40 years old. And he called them. He requested for things like the beggars will do. Peter said, I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But I've got something that you need. And that's the name of Jesus. And he's saying, the name of Jesus in Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And a miracle took place. And because of this miracle, the Bible says people were amazed. And Peter was going to follow the usual pattern. The pattern is the wonder, word, response. A performance of a wonder, of the experience of a wonder, he will use the opportunity to speak the word of life to the people, and he will expect a response. You remember what happened in Acts chapter number 2? There was Pentecost. The people started speaking in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And then because of that wonder, he stood up and he spoke the word. men of Israel, these people are not drunk. It's what has been prophesied by the name, by the man, by the prophet Joel. And then he expected a response. Exactly the same thing we have here. There was a wonder that has just taken place. The man that was born, lame, he's always been there. People have known him over the years. He had a good spot where he collected money. Because he thought that was what he needed, like I explained yesterday, because he did not know that he actually needed he needed something deeper. And so, ministered to him, this man got well, and so he moved from the wonder to the word, and in a short while, he was going to expect some response. Now, and he started preaching to them. Now, but the first and the most important thing he spoke to them was that Peter explained to them, and he started with, what did not happen? Now, what did not happen? He said, this thing did not happen by our power. It did not even happen by our godliness. Now, I want you to look at that place in verse number 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? So this did not happen by our power. This has not happened because we are very special people. And he will go into verse number 16. It's at number 16, verse number 16, that he told them exactly why what happened actually happened. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Now, if you look at verse number 12 or verse number 13, it started by explaining to them the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Now, why did it start there? It started from the person that they knew and they could relate to. They knew God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. They knew him as the Yahweh God. And so he said, that same God that you guys know, that same God that you guys have worshipped over time, that same God has done something that you probably don't know about. Has done something, he said, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. I love the way Peter always rubbed it in, you know. he said, the entire Godhood of God has been packaged and put in the name, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the Jesus? That Jesus, that same Jesus that you delivered up. You gave him up and denied in the presence of Pilate. You remember? Because this happened not too long ago. And when he determined to even let him go, you wouldn't allow him to go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer. You did not just deliver the nice guy to go and die. You actually requested in exchange for a murderer. You remember you did that? And the guys were like, okay, yeah. You don't have to rub in it. Just say what you want to say. No, I need to take you through that story because what I'm about to say is important. I will imagine that's what Peter will be telling them. You killed the nice guy. You requested for the murderer, the guy that will rape your women, the guy that will steal your stuff, the guy, the terrorist. You requested for him. You remember? Say, yeah. Okay. And verse number 15. And you did not, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now, the nice guy that you killed. Now, what you don't know is that his person continues to live forever. And his person lives forever because the entire Godhood of God has been given to him and now by extension packaged into his name. That name is called Jesus. So when you say Jesus, you're not saying some names like Joseph. You're not saying like names like my name, Joe. I don't want to use your name so that you don't say I'm using you to preach. You know, you're not just using all those names. You're not just using some names like Rachel or like John. No, they're not in the same level. They're not in the same category. Even though my name has got a meaning, my first name has got a meaning, you know. don't let me go there. But the thing is, we're not talking about meanings, names that have meanings. We're talking about a name that has influence. And the thing is not just that it has influence, it has unlimited power and influence. There is an authority that comes with that name. Now, if many of us will come to this platform, then the way we use the name of Jesus will change. And we'll stop relegating it to just swear words. And when you have a puncture tire, oh, geez, you know. You know, or when you miss something, oh, Jesus. Even unbelievers, people that have never been to Christ, oh, geez. No, because in Australia, we love shortening names. You know, if you're Joseph, you're called Joe. If you're Joe, you're called Jay. If you're Jay, you don't have a name. You know. Praise God. Now, it said the entire Godhood of heaven, the entire Godhood of God, the entire package of the Godhead has been packaged in that name. Now, why will he go into this extent to tell these people because a miracle has just happened? No. Were there many more lame people in that place that Peter would like to heal? Not necessarily, because the Bible did not say so. So why would he hammer on the point about the name and the need for them to attach themselves to the significance of the name? Why would he go to the extent of preaching about the name and spend the whole time, you know, talking about this name? Simple. There were many more lame, disabled people in that place. It's only that their lameness and their disability was at a deeper level. What do I mean by that? Now, for every physically lame person that you will come across, there are perhaps thousands that are disabled, lame, incapacitated at the level of their soul, at the level of their mind and their emotions, at the level of their thoughts, completely distorted, thought level, thought pattern, emotionally unstable. For every one person that you see that you find physically disabled, there are perhaps maybe hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions of people that are much more spiritually disabled, spiritually quashed, spiritually emancipated, spiritually dead spiritually, people that have no life in them at all. Now, why? And that's why he would hammer on this point, because he knew that what you guys see was just a physical healing of a lame man. But you guys had a lameness that is worse than this man, and you need to engage with the same name, because that same name has the capacity in it to bring to life dead things, to bring to restoration lame things, not just at the physical level, but at a deeper soulish and spiritual level. That's why you need to connect with it. That will be the reason why this man will hammer on this. Let me say this, people of God. You know the greatest thing that happened that day was not the restoration of the legs of that man. The greatest thing that happened that, somebody will look at me and say, well, so what was the greater thing? The greatest thing that happened that day was that souls were saved. People came to realize that they were dead in sin. That was the greatest thing that happened. Why? Because this lame man was already 40. Given the next 50, 60 years, he will die. And that will be the end of suffering, if there was a major suffering in his life. And I'm not saying that to minimize lameness. I know it's a very difficult thing. You probably wouldn't realize how difficult it would be to be a lame person until you go to certain parts of the world. Because in this part of the world, we take care of people with physical disability. In some other parts of the world, you are just on your own. You are just neglected. You are just there. Everyone struggles to get into the bus. They're not going to help. Nobody helps you. But this man will just need the next 40, 50 years or 60 years, as the case may be, and he will pass on. And that will be the end of suffering, as you will know it on the physical. But those guys were dead spiritually. And their deadness spiritually will linger forever. They are going to be completely cut off from the source of life. When they exit the physical platform called earth, they are still continually detached. Completely detached from God. Hell is nothing but a detachment from your maker. That's what hell. Hellish experience means you are detached from the one that can help you. And that was why it was more important for him to hammer on the power and the authority invested in that name to take care of the problems of the people that were physically okay, seemingly okay, because they needed it. He said, because of the, so that the times of refreshing could come from God unto you. That's why we need to engage with this name. Now, I've been told sometimes that when I say in the name of Jesus, you know, some kids in our church, you know, yeah, because of the volume, you know. I apologize for that. But you know, working in my mind is the picture of some force that comes with that name. So subconsciously, my vocal cord has been programmed. I'm not looking for a lame excuse. That's been programmed such that when I want to mention that name, more of the time it comes with some force. Because right in my spirit, I see force being released. I see authority, power being released at the mention of that name. Now, something happened to the children of, to the apostles, I just want you to come back to this authority. There is authority and power in that name. And there is so much authority and power that it does not just stop at the physical. It ascends to the spiritual. That name is understood. They recognize it anyway. Not just in the world, but in the world to come. In the realm of the spirit. At the higher level that you cannot see and touch. That name carries weight and power in there. Everything responds to the name of Jesus. Everything. Everything. Your car responds to that name. Your house responds to the name. Your job is bound by covenant. Bound by covenant to respond to that name. Not too long ago, I was going to apply for something, and as I was talking to the consultants that were going to help me to do this stuff, they said, it doesn't work. It cannot happen. You know, I spoke to a couple of them. It cannot happen. It does not work. We can't. And then I finally got one and said, okay, I will just give it a try. I said, that's what I need. You just go ahead and give it a try. Why? Because I knew that from this hand, by the release of that name, what never happened is bound by covenant to happen. And then the guy came back to me 2 days after and said, yes, it's done. I said, look at those guys. I told them to do it. They said it was the name of Jesus invoked authority and power anywhere. Now Jesus, his disciples in the book of Luke, chapter number 10, I believe, verse 17. Luke chapter number 10, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19. Behold, and I want you to say this with me, please. Behold, I give you the what? Authority. Now, what did they start with? Verse 17. Let's go back there again. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in what? In your name. So in verse 19, he's talking about that same name. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, nothing, zero, shall by any means hurt you. Now, that particular place is translated this: I have given you the authority over all the capacity of the enemy. You have authority. Now, if some of us know exactly what we have, the way you will walk will be different. Your outlook to life is going to be completely different from the way it is at this moment. Because you are the God of heaven has invested in you the name that has the capacity of the heavens. There is a backing of the heavens each time you say in the name of Jesus. There is authority there. Now, listen to this. It doesn't matter whether the guy is 20-year-old or 50-year-old, if he's a police officer or a traffic warden, for instance, and he puts on the uniform and he stands at the intersection, I don't care what the size of your car or your vehicle is. When the guy says, stop, you are bound to stop. Why? Not because of the physical stature of that guy. Not even because you like him. As a matter of fact, you really wouldn't want to stop because you are late for work. But he's putting on a uniform. Now, that uniform has got the backing, the authority of the state that put him there. You don't have to like him. You are bound to, except if the next time you find yourself in, if you don't, because there is authority behind him. Now, there is the story of a young lady who happened to be a police officer and in a small town. And in the evening, their father happened to be an alcoholic. This guy will always go out and drink, and then he will come home drunk. And of course, the entire family have become very concerned for him. This particular evening, he was getting ready to go out as usual to go and drink with friends at the local pub. And the young lady, who happened to just join the police first a few months before, pleaded with the father, Father, please don't go. Please don't go. The wife came around, please. Everyone in the household pleaded with him and said, guys, get around. I need to engage with my guys, you know. I need to get some shots, you know. and so he got himself trying to get ready, called the guys, let's meet at so-and-so pub and whatever. Meanwhile, the young lady felt, okay, what am I going to do? And he made a plan. Unknown to the family. The guy, the man, decided to go into his car and drove. Now, there is only one road that leads out of the town to the pub. And as he was approaching the main road to go to the pub, he saw a police officer there. He moved closer, and this police officer, it was right in the middle of the night. That was around 12 midnight. This police officer stopped the car, and he looked at the man in there. Of course, he recognized the man. The man recognized him. The man recognized him as the daughter. Oh, what are you doing there? And the young lady said, it's 12 midnight. There's not supposed to be any movement around here. You go home. And as the man was going to come and start making some argument, I said, hello, man, I'm speaking to you as the police officer here. Go back home. The guy had no choice. He had to go back home. Why? Because he was so afraid of the girl? No, he just left the girl arguing in the house. But now the girl was putting on a uniform. The authority of that state, of that localized place, was upon that girl. At that point in time, she was not just the little girl in the house. She was the extension of the arm of the government, of that state, or of that locality. That's who you are, people of God, when you are clothed with the name of Jesus. When you say that name, you disappear. When you mention that name, your status disappears. No one recognizes you. The only thing that flashes in the realm of the spirit is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the forces of darkness understand that. They know that. You know why? They recognize him. Your name does. Maybe they don't know you, but they know him. Why? Because the Bible says, I haven't spoiled principalities and powers. You know that? When he descended into hell, I don't have the time to go into the details. The word spoil is to disarm principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. So when he disarmed them, he didn't just leave them there. He moved them out of the town, out of the city, spiritually. I've disarmed this guy, they are now my servants, so that nobody will have any doubt as to who was in charge. I haven't spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. That's the name, that's the person that you invoke when you say in the name of Jesus. Situations recognize that. Circumstances recognize that. Paralysis in marriages, they recognize that. What situation recognize that name? At the name of Jesus, there is an authority that is released. There is a power that is released. These guys came by and say, you know what? The demons will bear us in your name. Say, I have given you authority. I've given you authority. I've given you authority. Why? Philippians chapter number 2. Let's see something together. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at what it says in verse number 9. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at what it says in verse number 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name. I love that word, the name, specific, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He has given him a name, and that name is above every other name. It's above every name in the heavens. It's above every name on the earth. It's above every name. So whatever platform you want to apply it to, the name of Jesus bears relevance. That's the name. That's the power in that name. Why am I talking about this? Because it is important for you and I, as 21st century believer, to understand the authority that we carry when we say in the name of Jesus. There is no place for doubt, because you are carrying the presence of the person that redeemed the world. In the name of Jesus. You speak that to the employment situation. In the name of Jesus. When you say that, just see yourself disappearing and Jesus appearing. In the name of Jesus, you say that to physical ailment, disease, infirmity. When you say that, you disappear and Jesus appear. In the name of Jesus, you say that to depression and repression of the enemy. When you say that, they recognize that name. In the name of Jesus, you say that to that problem child. You speak that word, and you don't have to. They don't have to be physically present. Your father does not have to be physically present. Your mom, the people that you are praying for, they don't have to be physically present. Why? Because that name is invoked in the spirit realm. Powerful, powerful, powerful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is authority, there is power in it. Like I said, if the guy, you meet a police officer, if you don't have to like him. He might even be your secondary school mate or maybe your junior. When he wears that uniform, he carries an authority. He carries an authority. And the power of the state backs him up. There are some people that will misbehave, but the power of the state is there to bring them to justice. Now, let me begin to round up. Now, there are two sides to this. How do I access and release the power in the name? How do I access it? And how do I release it, the power of the name? And I'm going to talk about two things very briefly. I'm going to talk about the initiation, and I'm going to talk about the invocation, that the initiation that comes by faith and the invocation that ought to be done by faith, and we're going to round up. Are you still with me, people of God? Amen. Praise God. Now, how do I access and release the power in the name? Don't forget, this name has been given to the Son by the Father. So it was a great present that was given to the Son, and the Son has shared it. The Bible calls us co-heirs with Christ Jesus. He was the firstborn, the Bible says, among many brethren. And we are included. You and I, we are included. But how do I have access and release the power in that name? The initiation. What do I mean by that? Everyone that wants to have access to the power and the authority of that name needs to be initiated into it. There has to be an induction into it. Now, years ago, I had the privilege of finishing medical school, and we were not, even though we boasted around as doctors, we were not recognized as doctors. until a certain date that was set when we were inducted. So at that point in time, we began to have the backing of the state to practice. Anything done before your induction, even though you have the skill, you're going to go to jail for practicing without being inducted, because you are not a doctor until you are inducted, until you are initiated. And the induction was not a big thing. As a matter of fact, we were out of there in minutes. I, doctor, so-and-so, and you take the Hippocratic Oath, and you just walk out. You are a doctor. Are you kidding me? And we waited for that for months. Months. You know, because you need to be inducted to have the backing of the state. Say, you are a doctor. You are a well-beloved doctor in whom I'm well-pleased. I'm just joking. Now that's the backing of the state. Now, you have no reason to use the name of Jesus until you are inducted into the group called believers. Everyone that used that name, you are at your home peril if you use that name without being inducted. It does not have the capacity, it does not have the authority of heaven, because you are not inducted, you are not initiated. So if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you're not saved, you're not born again, you're not inducted. You don't have the capacity to use the name. That's what it means. The best you could do is to use it as a swear word, and that's bad enough. You don't have the capacity to use it. In Acts chapter 19, I'll just read that very quickly. In Acts chapter 19, some guys thought, anyone can just pick up the name of Jesus and go around and use the name. Acts chapter 19, and I'll quickly read from verse number 11. Now, Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchief or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name whom Paul preaches." You know what's happening? There was a lot of work, great work going on, miracles of different sorts, even with the handkerchief of the apostles. And some guys said, "Wow, this is cool. How do they do it?" And they found those guys, they would just go there and say, "In the name of Jesus." That's all they do? Is that all they do? Yeah. I've seen them. I've checked them out. I've witnessed a few occasions where they have just used the name of Jesus and boom, miracle happened. And the guy said, "Wow. Great business, great business. Let's go to there. In the name of, is that all?" Yeah. Okay. So they will just, now they're not started going around. Now, the Bible says in verse number 14, "And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so." So there were this priest, there was this priest, and he had seven sons. And they said, "Let's get together, you know, casting out demons unlimited, registered, you know." And then they went out. And verse number 15, "And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. Who are you?'" You know what that's talking about? The evil spirit, they have the register. The moment you get saved, boom, your name pops up in kingdom of darkness. I know that scares you, but that's the real thing. Your name comes up, boom, redeemed. Boom, saved. So they have the register in hell, just like they have it in heaven. Okay? So when you come using the name of Jesus, the first thing they check is whether you are registered to practice. Are you getting what I'm talking about? They check the induction number, the induction list, and they couldn't find the names of these guys there. See, verse number 16. "Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them." I love the word overpower. It's a very strong word. I don't have the time. Overpowered them, "and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." You know what happened? Just one guy in whom an evil spirit operates overpowered seven guys, stripped them naked, to be public examples that you don't use the name into which you have never been inducted. Dangerous. People of God, if you're present here, you don't know the Lord Jesus, it's a very dangerous life. you are exposed. The enemy can come at any time and just destroy your life. Why? You don't have a covering. You don't have an authority that protects you. You are defenseless. Your mind is open. He comes in and goes out at will. At will. At will. He checks out in the morning. He comes in the morning, picks up what he wants, takes your joy, takes your gladness, takes your family, destroy everything, goes out, leaves you for some time, come in anytime because you are defenseless. But that name, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. When the righteous runs into it, secured, saved. So what I'm talking about is you need to be inducted. If you're not saved, you're not inducted, you don't have the initiation. That's the first one. And I'll give a moment at the end of the service. Because, like I said, it just took a few minutes for us to get inducted as medical doctors. Went in, took the Hippocratic Oath. We've been in this business for years. 7 years of studying medicine. And then after we finished, we had to wait for months to be inducted. Of course, some of us started seeing people. You know, what was the problem? Headache. You know, but that was not right. That was illegal. Because if something had happened, you are in trouble. You know, don't look at me like that. I wasn't one of them, you know. You know, boom. You come out from the other side in minutes, and then the entire authority to practice was on you. At that time, you actually had every authority to do anything. In the process of your job, if you even lose a life, you're covered, as long as you did the right thing. But on this side, before you were inducted, even if you did everything right and the guy got well, you might still be in trouble. Why? Because you don't have a license to have seen in the first place. But it's okay now, it's fine. No, but who gave you the authority to listen to him and to practice? That's the question. The initiation is important. Secondly, and this is important for many of us that are born again, spirit-filled, that the invocation of the name ought to be done in faith. This is crucial. The invocation of the name of Jesus ought to be done in faith. And this is exactly what I want to get into you, people of God, so that the next time you stand to mention that name, whether at the public arena or in your closet, you know that you have a backing of heaven. There is a rush of power that comes with that name, not because of your godliness, not because you are so good and so, but because of that name. That name has been invoked into the situation. It is bound by the covenant of heaven and of earth to work. The invocation. Now, look at something that happened in this particular instance, and I'm going to close with this. Praise God, praise God, praise the Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you. Acts chapter number 3. I will close with this. And I'm going to lead you in a very short prayer. Acts chapter number 3. I just want to bring a particular detail to you, which you might probably not have noticed. Acts chapter number 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." When he said that, you know what happened? Something took place. But this guy was still seated. He was still in his position. Nothing has changed physically. There was no apparent change. The guy was just looking. "I'm asking for money. If you don't have money, go. Let me see the next customer." You know? And he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the guy was just looking like that. Verse 7. This is what happened. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength." You know why Peter had to go through that? Peter was too sure that something has happened in this man. This man is just going to make a mess of what has happened. Because he will not stand up and walk. And then when he spoke, "Come on, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." There was a confidence. The name that was invoked ought to have done something to this man. People of God, let there be confidence when next you use this name. Let there be a rush of confidence that this name has the backing of heaven. There is authority in it. There is power in it. It doesn't matter, like this man's case, the lame might happen not to be, you know, not to jump up on his feet, but something has happened, and you need to act in faith. You know, I was reading, I heard about this man called Smith Wigglesworth, and this man has an unusual grace and anointing to, you know, to perform miracles. And then one day he went to see a particular man. He was called, I think the story said, was seen to see a man who was dead, you know, and he had a rush of faith in him, a special kind of faith. We don't have time to go into that details now, you know. And he went into there and he asked, "So where is the man?" And they said, "He's here." And he went into him and he grabbed the man from the bed, you know, and put him against the wall, stood him against the wall. "In the name of Jesus, come back to life." And then he will release him. And the guy will go down. And everyone was like, "The guy is dead. Let him just rest in peace," you know. And grab him the second time, put him against the wall. "In the name of Jesus, come alive." I think he did that about 3 or 4 times. And people were like, "This man is going to break the bone of this dead man." You know, "The guy is dead. Let me just rest in peace." "In the name of Jesus, rise up." And then about the 4th time or so, the man came back to life. You know why he would persist that way? He was so sure. He was so sure that that name was not in the name of Joe, you know, in the name of Brian, you know. This is in the name of Jesus. People of God, there is authority that comes with that name as you invoke it. There is authority that comes into it, into anything. They recognize the name of Jesus. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer?